Gracious God, we once again turn our hearts toward you, and we thank you that you yearn to hear our cry. We thank you for the opportunity to give back to you a portion of what you blessed us with. We ask that you would use these gifts and multiply them and use them to expand your kingdom, that you might be glorified and praised and honored, and your light might shine here in Gibsonburg, the surrounding areas, and all throughout the world. And so, Jesus, we offer these gifts back to you to use them as you wish for your glory's sake. We praise you and honor you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This morning we're finishing up our series titled Healthy Happiness, and we find ourselves in the book of Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be in verses 10 through 19. And so if you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, please turn to Philippians 4 verses 10 through 19. We're going to talk about God's provision. And what provision is, it's the act of supplying a need or the act of providing something for someone. And truly, God does provide for you and for me, and truly, God does give us things that we need. But follow along with me, if you will, beginning in verse 10 of chapter 4 and concluding in verse 19. The Apostle Paul, he writes, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I complain of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things in him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians, you yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent me help once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." This being Memorial Day weekend, there's a secret that many of us Americans, we celebrate every Memorial Day weekend. And the secret goes like this: the sacrifice of many has bought and purchased for us the freedom that we enjoy each and every day. The Apostle Paul, in this passage, he says, "I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, the secret of facing abundance and want." And then in verse 13, he says, "The secret is him being able to do all things in Christ, in him who strengthens him." I believe there's three components to this secret the Apostle Paul learned. And we need to understand, he has been in prison for 10 years. From the time that he planted the church at Philippi, from the time that he originally ministered to these individuals at the church in Philippi, to the time he received the gift that was brought to him by Epaphroditus. So 10 years is gone, and yet he says, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me." You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. His focus, the first aspect of the secret, is God's provision, his providing, his grace. And friends, it's important that we understand the component of what God's provision must have. The story is told of a minister who appeared usually cheerful, though he was suffering severe affliction. One of his parishioners asked this minister the secret of his contentment, the secret of his being cheerful. And he says, "I have a right use of my eyes." And he replied that seriously. "Your eyes," the parishioner said, "I don't understand." And the minister responded, he said, "It's very simple. First, I look up to heaven and remember that that is where I'm going. Next, I look down to the earth and realize how small a place I shall occupy when I'm dead and buried. And finally, I look around and see the many who are much worse than I am." You see, the secret, to receiving and experiencing the strength through Christ who strengthens you and I is to find God in all our circumstances, to see God in everything, and to really look for God. Every time I counsel individuals that are struggling and going through difficulties, many times I will say to them, can you find God in it? The Apostle Paul, 10 years locked in prison and chained to a Roman soldier, under house arrest, and probably just being checked upon, probably in a dank, dark place. The smell is just awful. And yet, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly. His eyes were focused on where God was at and what God was doing. His eyes were focused upon the Lord, and he found God in his circumstances and in spite of his circumstances. The second thing that Paul says is he became satisfied with little. He says, not that I complain of want, for he has learned, whatever state that he is in, to be content. You see, when we are satisfied with what we have, we don't seek to go forth to look for more. The scriptures tell us that the eye will never be satisfied and the stomach will never be full. And how true that is. The eye will never be satisfied and your stomach will never be full. Meaning you can seek to satisfy your eye and yet it will never be satisfied. Your stomach, you can seek to have it full, but it will never be full. The Apostle Paul says the secret to contentment is to find God because, friends, Jesus, God, the Lord, is the only one who truly will satisfy your soul. He is the only one who will truly provide satisfaction and fulfillment and absolute the essence of what you will need in order to quit looking everywhere. Paul, he looked up, he looked out, and he looked in. Paul also knew what it was to be independent and living independent from his circumstances. You might be sitting there saying, yeah, but you don't understand what I'm facing. You don't understand what I'm going through. And I'd like to read a scripture passage to you out of the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 33. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, are they servants of Christ? I am a better one. I am talking like a madman with far greater labors. Now listen to the next string of statements. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death, 5 times I have received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I have been beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. 3 times I have been shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city and danger in the wilderness, danger at sea and danger from false brethren, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night and hunger and thirst, often without food and cold and exposure, and apart from other things, there is the daily pressure upon me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to fall, and I am not indignant? If I may boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of the Lord Jesus, he who is blessed forever, knows that I do not lie. You see, when I read what the Apostle Paul encountered and what he endured, it really puts things in perspective for me. And it really challenges me because there has never been a man outside of Jesus Christ who was fully God, who has lived for such a short period of time that so much has been accomplished in such an absolute short period of time. The Apostle Paul's ministry from start to finish was probably only 10 years. The greatest missionary to ever live. He planted churches. He saw many people come to faith in Christ. And it's because, friends, his eyes were focused on the right thing. He found God in all his circumstances. He was confident in God providing for all of his needs, and he looked where he needed to look. He lived independent of his circumstances. You see, many of us in our life, we get so bogged down in our circumstances and we allow what happens to us on the outside to determine and dictate what's going on in our soul. And friends, Jesus didn't purchase on Calvary 2,000 years ago for you to be anxious in your soul. He purchased so that you would be at peace, you would be calm, you would be satisfied, you would be filled. The second thing that I believe is the secret the Apostle Paul would have us to know is that God's power abides in you and abides in me. In verse 13, we're told that he says he can do all things in Christ who strengthens him. Friends, this reminds me of John 15, where Jesus says he is the vine and we are the branches. And the Holy Spirit is the sap that flows through the vine to the branches, and we are grafted in. We are the branches. The source of the power of God is through the vine, Jesus, and it will always be to us, to you, the branches. As I mentioned, the sap or the Holy Spirit, it charges the individual's life and it will always produce fruit for the world to see. My challenge is this. As we meet around the Lord's table this morning, it is to think about how we remember Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And my challenge is this. As John 15 says, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. And we need to depend upon him such that for everything in our life, as we ingest the elements this morning, my challenge is that to acknowledge for you and for me that we are fully depending and ingesting the power of God. Not that the elements contain any special thing. It's remembrance. But there is something interesting to me that when Jesus took the bread and he took the cup and he blessed it and he broke the bread and he took the cup and he said, take and drink, take and eat, that he was saying, ingest this. He was saying, get the power of God deep within your soul so that it will flow through you. This isn't just mere things that we do. They're symbolic. There's power in Christ and Christ alone. And when we set our eyes on God and God alone, and set our eyes and find God in all of our circumstances, and we begin to depend upon God wholeheartedly and position ourselves that God's power will strengthen you and I, we will begin to experience him flowing through us into this world. The last thing the Apostle Paul knew of the secret was God's promise. As we mentioned with the clipboards moving around, you know, scriptures say that no one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. No one can come to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, and no one can do anything to make themselves more worthy in God's sight than what Christ has already done 2,000 years ago. We need to quit striving. We need to quit seeking to make ourselves acceptable in God's eyes. We need to stop doing and start being. And then what we do needs to stem from who we are in Christ. God's promise is he will promote two things. He will bear fruit. We're told in verse 17 that the Apostle Paul says, not that he seeks the gift, but he seeks the fruit which increases to your credit. Friends, a fruit on a tree is not produced for the tree. It's produced for other individuals. And the second thing that God promises to do is he will supply all your needs, all our needs. There's a small phrase in that verse, verse 19, where it says, according to. That's important. It's important because it's not out of what God has. It's according to what God possesses that he is going to supply what you need and what I need. It reveals the extent to which God will supply the needs, not out of his riches, but according to. God's giving will be relative to the immensity of his eternal wealth. So friends, as we meet around the Lord's table this morning, let us grapple in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, the providing aspect. Jesus provided for you and for me, an acceptable way to be accepted in the sight of God the Father. He gave you that provision. It's yours. As we partake in communion, we'll do so by intinction. And we will rip the bread and dip it. It's an open communion table. If you're here visiting, please feel free. The only stipulation is that you profess faith in Christ. If you profess faith in Christ, then please come and partake. The second thing is that God will. The promises, mine went blank. I must be getting old. That's rough. That's rough. It's been a long day. Anyway, but let's bow in prayer. And let's meet around God's table and recognize, you know, the provision and the promises that Jesus has made for you and for me. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for the elements. We thank you for this time of communion. And Jesus, we also pause and recognize this Memorial Day weekend, the sacrifice of so many, and you, Jesus, offered the supreme sacrifice for us, doing what none of us could ever do and offering us up to God the Father, making us holy and righteous in God's eyes. So, Father, may we find you in all things. May we set our eyes upon you, and may we acknowledge how it is you and you alone that has done everything for us. And so, Father, we thank you for the bread. We thank you for the night that you were betrayed, Jesus, and you took the bread and you blessed it and you broke it and you gave thanks. You said, take and eat. This is my body broken for you. And not only that, but you took the cup and you said, this is my blood poured out for the remission of sins. Take and drink. So, Father, as we meet around your table, may our hearts be drawn towards you. May our hearts be consumed with your love and abiding in your presence. May our hearts cease to strive to earn our way to your acceptance, but may our hearts abide in your presence and rest in your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you and honor you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.